Later on, page Mem Vav and Vayechi, second column, class sponsored today by Avram Aradian. Vatzlocha. Why, anybody else want to do it? We'll let you do it too.
Ooh.
Okay. The Alter Rebbe is explaining over here that the difference between... basically this whole wine thing that you're going to be so much in abundance of wine, he says... That's going to be Lassid Lavi when Mashiach comes. And he starts explaining the difference between Elam Hazeh and Yemes and Mashiach. Okay, that in the days of Mashiach, it's going to be the same thing, but completeness of mitzvahs. And then we'll be able to have Korbanos again. Korbanos Chaviseinu. And then the Alter Rebbe asks, L'cha'era, now we have davening instead of Korbanos. If we have davening instead of Korbanos, but L'chaira, davening should be greater than Kabbanis. We're davening that we should go back. In davening, we're saying we should go back to the Beis HaMikdash to have Kabbanis, which means Kabbanis is higher. But the reality is, because davening actually refines directly the Nefesh HaBamis.
But why is davening so prominent? I know Rashi said that Hashem decided that we do a rare.
Why is davening so basic, especially according to Chassidus? Because that's, they instituted the whole concept of davening properly and long and all that.
No, Korbanos.
I understand, but the bottom line is, davening is the personal refinement of the character of the person.
Why not eating kosher? Why not giving tzedakah?
Because eating kosher, you enjoy it. And your nefesh habamis is eating. Ideally, the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, and we just had this recently in the Shir Tanya, in Chitas, that when you eat properly l'shem shemayim, it's mamish ka'olo ka'korban. The Alter Rebbe says not only like a regular carbon, it becomes like ka'olo, a burnt offering. So yes, you could elevate through eating, but davening, that's a particular part. Davening is the whole idea of the nefesh habam is becoming refined. That not only the nefesh habamis gets in the way, but the purpose of davening v'after b'chol v'avcha, the yetzer and the yetzer hara, that the ultimate way is that the nefesh habamis itself serves Hashem.
Not
as much as davening.
So if you don't enjoy it, then you suffer when you daven. Do you elevate yourself more?
Yeah, especially when you come to shul. Okay, so he starts explaining that the Yidden are likened to Gefen Mitzrayim Tasiyah, the Jews are likened to a vine. And he said there's two types of wine. Okay? So he says, in Avas Hashem, there's two levels. Some people be... Okay, let's start. That's what we're up to, really. Okay, in the middle of this Mem Vav, second column. V'inei, ba'ava, yesh beis b'chines, there's two levels of Ava. Yesh mispal yasimchas Hashem b'libay. One becomes affected by the simcha of Hashem in his heart, which is the level of yayin misamach, that the wine that makes you happy. Ubchinis yayin love, and that's the level of white wine, mubchinis chamar chavan in atik, which is basic, simply meaning the white wine. Yesh misbalias meridus halev, and some people become affected, impacted, influenced by bitterness. In other words, like this. There are some people that get turned down with simcha. Some people get turned down with seriousness. Some people can get closer to Yiddishkeit by dancing. And some people get turned down to Yiddishkeit by the seriousness, the earnestness of Yiddishkeit. So he says, he becomes a reckoning person, which are not for Hashem. They cry out to Hashem. That's the level of Yayin Edom, Yayin Meshachim. Okay? This we learned already, but we didn't learn for a few days. Now it says like this. On Shabbos, all the Jews that sanctify Hashem's name will rest. We say it in all three davenings, right? Hashem is self-holy. Why do we need to make Hashem holy if Hashem is automatically holy? Like it says, Ve'eich he had told you kedushasi yisbarach b'Yisrael davk. How is it possible that these? It's implied in davening that the resting of Shabbos is to for the Jews to sanctify Hashem's name. Meaning, we must sanctify Hashem's name. Kaviyochan, if not, he's not. He said, "Lachayu, why?" Ach inyan dina omer eimim ata kodesh v'shimcha kodesh u'gdeishim u'chol yem aluch ha'salam. We say every day in davening three times a day, ata kodesh, you're holy, your name is holy, u'gdeishim u'chol yem, and the holy ones every day, yaluch ha'salam, right? But before we go further, it's like we learned in the past, it doesn't say ata v'shimcha kodesh. We say ata kodesh, v'shimcha kodesh. You are holy and your name is holy. If they're both holy, why don't we just say you and your name are holy? So obviously it's clear that there's two different levels of kedusha. There's a level of kedusha of ata kodesh, one level of kedusha, and then shimcha kodesh, your name is holy, which is a different level of kedusha. So he says, Pirish kodeshim v'chol yeim, kamayim ha'machadish v'tuvah v'chol yeim tam ma'isa b'reishis. Every day, every second, world is renewed. And therefore, when the holy ones feel every day, that their life comes in the level of Kaddish Umuvdal. We say Adain Hanifloys. We say in davening also right before Shema in Yitzhak Meiris, right? Adon HaNiflois, the master of wonders. Now the master of wonders means he's even greater than wonders. He's the master of wonders. There are wonders, yeah, and then you have a lot of people doing it, and then he's the master of wonders. Pirush, Maila, Maila, Mechinas Niflois, like it says, Oisei Pela, Hashem makes wonders. That means he's above wonders and he makes them. So obviously he creates wonders. Shebchein es hapela. Hukasiya gashmi satsa yizbarech. The Chassidus says, what does it mean, eisei fela? Eisei fela means the wonders, which are the high levels, are in the same level equal with asiya. Eisei niflois. Like we say right after Baruch. Kulam b'chachma asisa. Literally means Hashem made everything with Chachma, right? So Chassidus interprets it, Kulam b'Chachma Asisa, Chachma, which is the highest of the spheres. Asiya, it's the lowest of the spheres, is all the same thing. By Hashem, who what's infinite, a trillion, 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 and one are the same thing. So Eisefela means that action by Hashem, by the way, there's miracles and there's wonders. There's Nisim v'Niflois. We say that in davening every day, right? Nisim v'Niflois. What's the difference between miracles and wonders? Miracles are a little bit higher than nature, but they make sense. Pela means it's wondrous. It doesn't even make sense in the realm of miracles. And yet, Pela is even higher than miracles. Right? Nes is a drop higher than the world. You do miracles. Here we're talking about a level that's even higher than that. And yet, that and Asiya are the same thing. That and the lowest level are the same thing. He says, Kihine, Inyan Apella. What is the Inyan Apella? Wondrous. When you say something is wondrous. Pli Esavis Yashmiyai. Is a creation of something out of nothing. In essence, the biggest miracle really is making nothing into something, because you're combining two opposites. The Rebbe says in Sheikh Vamuna, because by nature it's nothing and you want to keep it something, you have to be constantly in it, making it something. So it Yesh Miyayin is a Pella.
Then if it's a Yesh Miyayin, how come it doesn't change the nature of the Neshama? Does
it last
like
2 days or
40 days and then
the Shabbat is back
to square one?
Not true. The Alter Rebbe says in Tanya Perek Chofei, V'yichud zeh l'maylo nitzchi le'olam v'od. The unity a Jew does when they put first minyan a penny, second minyan a dollar into the pushka, that unity is not at the second I do the mitzvah. You became united with Hashem, the neshama became one with Hashem, more open, that lasts forever. Neshama, when you do, you go back to where you were. It's not really going back where you were, because the neshama is still higher than it was before, because of that mitzvah you did. Because they didn't internalize it. But you're going to say Matan Torah didn't affect them? Matan Torah has an effect even until today.
Rabbi, did you answer the question?
What?
You raised the question that why Hashem wants us to praise Him. Did I miss it? Was it answered?
He didn't really ask the question here. He's just explaining that L'cheira Karbonis should be higher than, why are Karbonis higher than Davening? L'cheira Davening should be higher because we're praising Hashem. Oh, you mean this? No, he didn't answer it yet. Okay, so he said, like it says, HaChachma Mayim Tumatzin Chachma is Yashmiyayim. V'ksiv Kulam B'Chachma Asisa. Everything in Chachma and Asi is the same thing. She'Chachma Nechshev Esek Asi Agashmi. Which is saved called Dargan. Meisechol Dibur Machshavo Maisa. The same thing. Kach HaChochma Heim Nechshavis Etze Yishula Mailam and HaChochma Ruma Adinkets. Therefore, Chochma is higher than the lowest. Right? The highest is higher than the lowest. But that's only in the realm of limitation, then you have higher and lower. In the realm of infinite, higher and lower is the same thing. In our counting, a million is more than one. But compared to infinite, a million and one are exactly the same. So therefore we say constantly in davening, Eise Pella, wonders and Asi are the same thing. Kulam b'chochma asisa chochma, the highest level and the lowest level, it's all the same thing. Because Hashem is infinite. And that's what he says now. V'chein heim yalucha selatami, b'ilu yachet ilu, b'li hefzik, and therefore they constantly praise Hashem. Ilu yachel ilu b'li hefzik. And that's the level of Shimcha Kaddish. Ki hei deyesh ashal shmei aled it's a shemay. Okay, he's not done yet. But he's saying, because Hashem is so infinitely great, any praise you give Him doesn't do Him justice. That's why the famous story in the Gemara, in Brachas, when a guy kept praising Hashem on and on and on and on in his own terms. And finally, after an hour, he ran out of adjectives. So the guy next to him said, and that's it? In other words, Hashem is an hour's worth of praise. And that's it. That's why the Gemara says, what do we say in davening? The praises that we say in davening, with Ruach HaKodesh, with divinely inspired, therefore we say in like in Shminat, Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibah Vaneda. That's it. And a few other ones over there. But that's it. Because once we start praising Hashem on our limited level, we are already limiting Him. We're limiting Him. And therefore, Kadesh Mechoye Maalucha Sela, because Hashem is only so infinite, the praise has to be infinite, constant. Because once you stop, that means that's it. There's no more praise.
But how did the people who write the Yutim or in Shabbos Neros, how did they praise Hashem? Are you not supposed to praise Hashem in your own words? Like if I want to just say Hashem.
The Rebbe writes, the people that make up their own piyutim, they're not very holy. They make the situation infinitely worse. You know the piyutim that we say in davening, you know, the extra, like on a fast day, the extra things we say. So the Rebbe writes, if they're not made up by very, very holy people, it's detrimental. Because if you don't know how to... To give you a simple example, if a guy's a billionaire and you get up to introduce him and you say he's a millionaire, it's an insult.
Yes.
Okay? You want to say he's rich, but he's a billionaire. Why are you praying? So it's an insult. If you don't know how to praise Hashem, that's what I would say. So the piyuta, most of them that we have, by the way, came from the time of Rashi and Tosfos, Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Chosid, those people, they were mamish, holy, holy tzaddikim.
That's contrary to Google.
The Rebbe didn't want making piyutim. There were many people that were making things after the Holocaust. You know, like in Echaz and Kinnis. The Rebbe was adamantly against it.
That's contrary to what we learn on Kukuli Kuku. The guy didn't know anything and just say it, and he went higher, and Baal Shem Tov says because of him, he broke the barrier.
He didn't put it there because that was above words.
But he didn't know how to praise.
Right, right. So it came from his neshama. But once you put it into words, you're making it worse. That's the point. One second. This guy, the Kukuriku guy, didn't say words.
Yeah,
but his neshama spoke.
But it's like me, wants to praise Hashem my way. What you were saying is wrong. Because it's wrong. You don't know what you're saying.
Correct.
You're supposed to daven Hashem also.
Yeah, the text of what we have. Tehillim.
Huh?
That's not praising Hashem. You're asking for personal requests.
You can't praise Hashem.
No, you don't praise Hashem in Shema Kol Eino.
You can't say, I love you, Hashem. You're the best. You're the best is not good. It's not good.
It's like that. The Rebbe is, even here, the Rebbe is saying, because it's Hashem is so infinitely great, you have to praise Hashem. Again, if you don't know how to praise Hashem, you make it worse. Okay? God forbid a person faints in the street. Yeah? A guy who's not a doctor and is going to go over there is going to make it worse. Yes or no?
They're going
to get sued. Yeah. No, the doctors get sued. Okay? I'm saying, if you don't know what you're doing, you mean well. You know, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You might mean well, but if you don't do it the right way, yeah. So you mess it. One second. Not only didn't you fix anything, you messed it up. Is that understood? Okay. So one second. Praising Hashem. If you don't do it the right way, you're gonna mess it up. You're insulting him. You want to praise Hashem, instead you're insulting him.
But God knows your intention.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
You're trying, you have a good intention, you're not doing any harm, you're just talking to God. You're
a person has a good intention, they want to go to shul so they drive on Shabbos. Is that good or bad?
No, that's
not. Well, is their intention good?
Yeah.
Are they doing the right thing?
But you're talking about the action, I'm talking about you talking to God.
Talking is action.
In their level, they're doing the right thing.
Yeah,
you have to tell them to stop, or you don't have to tell them to keep doing it?
If they can, if
even Tinnish and Ishba, they ask you, can I drive to shul? What do you have to tell them?
If they're driving to the beach or coming to shul, you say, rather drive shul than go to the beach.
Are you allowed to maybe drive to shul is longer?
That's what the conservatives said.
Maybe you're driving to shul is longer?
Yeah.
It's not so simple. Halachically, it's not so simple.
Rabbi,
what?
The guy asks you, I want to watch my program on TV or come to shul. What are you going to tell
them?
I'm going to tell
them
drive to shul.
I'm not going to say, no. You say come to shul. You don't say drive
but
to
he's
shul.
He's going
to
drive. And he's
maybe he'll walk.
No, he says, he's going to tell you, but I'm going to drive.
If a guy asks you, should I stay home and read a book or drive to shul?
Yeah.
Halachically, you have to tell him stay home.
Yeah.
Halachically, you have to tell him stay home.
But if he drives to shul, he may get inspired, he may do
but you can't, it's still a mitzvah coming from an event.
Home, so
if he doesn't ask, he doesn't tell. Don't ask, don't tell. It applies a lot in Yiddishkeit, by the way. Like what?
You see,
a lot of people over there.
Yeah,
have come to these reformed places, and they eventually end up in the right place.
That's God's business. But halachically, can you tell them that?
No.
Okay. If you don't ask, okay. Pinchas had to kill Zimri. That story everybody knows, right?
Yeah.
Now, if Pinchas asked the Shaila, what would he be told?
He did ask Moshe, no?
Moshe Rabbeinu didn't answer him.
Oh.
If he asked the Shaila to Bez, should I kill Zimri or not? The law is not to kill him. Kanoim pagan boy. If you don't ask, you could do things without asking. But if you ask, the answer is no. There's a Yiddish expression, a befrekt is treif. If you ask, it's treif. You don't ask, it's always kosher. Ignorance is bliss. You ask, it's treif. Therefore, a lot of times, when people ask that question, should I drive or not? Yeah? You can't say, yes, drive. You could say, you know, don't ask, don't tell.
But these people go to the... They want that, you to
that's
tell
what
them.
Chabad.
But you're not allowed to.
Yes. Right. You don't say anything, they ask.
No, Chabad, see, that's not true. Chabad, and those that do it are wrong.
Rabbi.
Rebbe said you accept the Jew for what he is.
The reason I am sitting here is because Chabad Rabbi says, come to shul. I said, I'm going to be driving. He says, I will look the other way. And now where I am, a lot of people...
Is that better or worse where you are today?
Look how you ended up.
And I admire that Chabad Rabbi who did that.
Wow.
Now you tell me it's wrong. It's not wrong.
No, I didn't say what he said is wrong. He didn't say drive.
He said, I look the other way.
He said, he didn't say drive. He said, I'd like to see you on shul. Did he say drive?
No.
He's not. No, there's a very... It's not a fine line even. He's not allowed to tell yes, drive. That would be going against halacha and against the Rebbe's point of kiruv. If he says, I'm not telling you anything.
I'll see you in shul.
There's a big difference halachically. Halachically, you can't say yeah, drive. I know a guy once... At the Shabbos morning minion, there was 8, 9 people, whatever. Yeah? So he told one of the guys in the shul, hey, Bill, call up Jack on your cell phone and tell him to come on Shabbos. We know how to do that.
You can say, get Jack.
No, but you can't say, hey, call up Jack on your phone and tell him to come.
You can say, tell him to come.
You could tell him, go get Jack.
Right. You're fooling yourself. It's the same thing.
It's not.
It is absolutely the same thing.
It is not. If you don't...
A person says, I look the other way. I told him I would be driving. He says, I look the other way. That means drive.
No. He says, I'm not caring how you get there. He's not telling... No, there's a big difference. Halachically, there's a very big difference. He's not telling you drive. He's not allowed to say drive to shul. He's not allowed to.
I've asked questions like this, and the Chabad Rabbi said, you can do whatever you want, or something like that.
No, you don't do whatever you want.
They say, do
what you can do.
Do what you can do.
That's a... Yes. There's a big difference between telling somebody drive,
yes,
or we'll see you in shul.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Of course, there's a big difference. Even though, by the way, the Rebbe was very strict about not doing that either. But that's a separate issue.
I went to a store where a Chabad rabbi was running the store, and I said, I want a daven yachid here in the store. May I daven yachid? And he told me, do your best. You can do whatever you want.
That's not a problem. Halachically, you can even say, yeah, daven yachid here. Or what was the option? Not davening.
No, there was a shul like 5 minutes
further.
Okay,
so. Yeah. He's not telling you to do an Aveda.
Right.
It's a very, very... Now, what Chabad is unique about, and what the Rebbe taught us is, even if the guy drives to shul, be mekad of him. Bring him closer. Don't scream at him. Don't yell at him. Don't throw stones at him. They don't throw stones in Meir Shaarim.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They don't throw stones.
These are people who drive for fun. You know, they do it to aggravate them, intense.
intentionally. They know that this is really not right. They are not driving to go to shul.
And even then you're allowed to throw stones?
Yeah, if they do it on purpose, they need to be
to shul. No, no. No, that's not the Chabad approach. They do it on purpose because they don't know. If they would know this field, the sanctity of Shabbos, they wouldn't do it.
They were told, listen, it's important that you are a Jew. You're not supposed
That's
to
not the way they tell
On
them.
Purpose, they come. And the religious area...
There's a mimer in Derech Mitzvah. I've mentioned this many times. So in Samach Tzedek, Derech Mitzvah, there's a mimer called Leisivadu Eish.
What?
There's a mimer on the Pasuk, Leisivadu Eish. Okay, not the kindle of Hanja. So in that mimer, Samach Tzedek says in Derech Mitzvah, there are people that are very, very zealous. Very, very zealous in Yiddishkeit. And therefore they can't tolerate... And therefore they cannot tolerate people that do something wrong. To the extent, this is what he says here. They throw stones at them. They beat them. He says, the truth is... This is what he says. The truth is that those people are ra be'etzem. They're rotten to the core. And they dress it into a cloak of holiness.
Oh, the ones who punish them.
Okay, that's what the Samach Tzedek writes. This is 150 years ago plus. Okay, this is close to 200 years ago, but not like today. Yeah? He says, so, Chabad, which Hillel said it, bring them to Torah. Love them and bring them to Torah. Not Torah to them, not to compromise Torah to them. Bring them to Torah. But when a guy walks into shul, and you know he drove.
Give him
today. We give him an aliyah because it's an Ikshan Ishmael. Say hello, good to see you. That doesn't mean you're telling him to drive. Accept him for what they are. But can you tell him have a good drive home? No.
Better in Kirub, which one works better, Chesed or
Gevura? Chesed.
Of course.
By the way, years ago, in discipline children, Gevura worked. Today, Gevura doesn't work. The Rebbe told us one of my stories. I know, but anyway, the Rebbe told this educator in Beis Yaakov in Borough Park years ago. The Rebbe told him that today, education has to be with love. Kill him with love, like the Rebbe didn't say that, but the expression, kill them with love. You have to educate kids today with love.